this morning. I'm expecting God to do something great for us. And we got a great God. We're serving a great Savior this morning. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us, if you will, that God will speak to our hearts. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. God, for the privilege to be in your house this morning. I pray, God, you'll bless the service. God, speak to our hearts. God, that you'll use me this morning. God, to be an instrument in thy hands. God, to take this Bible message this morning and preach it to our hearts so we'll see what we have in the Lord. Father, I pray for those who's lost and done without Jesus. God, they may not see their need right now to be saved. But Father, I pray you'll take your word and you'll convict their hearts of their sin. And God, may they come to follow Jesus Christ in salvation. Father, let this be the day of salvation for them. God, I pray for us that are saved. God, help us to wholly follow thee with our hearts. Lord, we love you and we need you now. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, if you will. And we're going to read a few verses together this morning. I want to try to draw your attention just to several words that we have here in Matthew, chapter 11. It's one of the passages of Scripture I like to quote. It helps me tremendously as I live the week out. It helps me to get through the weeks, help me get through to the days. Look here, if you would, in Matthew, chapter 11, verse 25. The word of God says, in that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because I has hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We have here in verse 28 and 29 and 30, we have the word rest is mentioned in verse 28 and 29. Look at what it says. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the rest of salvation. Here Jesus says, if you come to me, I'll give you salvation. And once you get my salvation, you'll be able to rest from all the work you've tried to do to get to heaven. Because, beloved, there's no way we can work to go to heaven. There's no way any of us can earn a merit to go to heaven. There's no way any of us can save a certain amount of money and give to the Lord for him to allow us to heaven. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And he says, if you come to me, I'll give you salvation and give you rest. That's the rest of heaven. Look here, that's the rest of salvation. In verse 29, we have the rest of service. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. The day you get saved, God's giving you a job, an opportunity to serve him. He says, hey, if you get in my yoke with me and work with me, then I'll give you rest unto your souls for the labor I've called you. I don't know if you know it, but living the Christian life is something that takes great diligence. It's something that takes great demand. I'm not going to say it's a hard life to live, because it's not a hard life to live. It's not something impossible. It's not something that we can live with our own selves, though. We have to live it through Jesus Christ. He says, hey, if you come to me, I'll give you salvation. If you come to me, I'll give you a yoke to help in the service. And now in verse 30, we have the rest. The Bible says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think about one day, beloved, we'll be in heaven. We spoke about Sunday school this morning about the second coming of Christ, and it's inevitable. He's coming. He's going to be here one day to take us to heaven. And boy, that'd be a wonderful day, won't it? It'd be a wonderful day when there's no more wheelchairs and no more walkers and no more medicine and no more pain and no more suffering and no more heartaches and no more worrying about a father beating his child and no more worrying about a mother not being there for her children and no more worrying about families that's starving and no more worries about people that's being abused, my friend. One day we'd be in the very presence of Jesus Christ in a place called glory, a place called heaven, in the very presence of our Savior, the one who loved us and died for us, and the one who's caring for us today. Here we have the rest of salvation, the rest of service, and the rest of heaven. But I want you to notice what it says here, if you would, in verse 28. Here Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. Many people is making a mistake by going to all kind of things. And beloved, I'll be the first to tell you, this church will not and cannot save anybody. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad we have our young folks here this morning. I'm glad we have mama, grandmamas, and granddaddies here this morning. But I want you to know, visitors, I want you to know, church members, this church will never and can never and will never be able to save anybody. The Bible says you must come to Jesus. I want you to notice this great command that we have. The command from the Lord is in verse 28. He says, come. My friend, to be saved, you have to come to Jesus. Hey, there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want you to notice what the Bible says, if you would, in Revelation chapter 22. Turn there, if you would, to Revelation chapter 22. The very last book, the very last chapter of God's holy word. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 22, in verse 17. Notice the word come. Every time the word come is mentioned. Here the Bible says, come unto me. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Bible says the Spirit and Bride says, come. I want you to know something today. Hey, the Spirit and the Bride says, come. You know what the Holy Spirit is doing today? The Holy Spirit is telling your heart, if you're lost, undone without Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is telling you to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus. To come to Jesus. Me and my wife have been saved now for 8 years and so many days. It's been a wonderful 8 years. That Tuesday night when I got saved, I didn't come to a church. I didn't come to a preacher. I didn't come to a denomination. I'm glad I'm an independent Baptist. I'm independent Baptist by conviction. I'm independent Baptist because that's the conviction God's given my heart to be an independent Baptist. But I didn't come to the independent Baptist movement. I didn't come to an independent Baptist church. I didn't come to an independent Baptist preacher. I didn't come, my friend, to some religion or some organization. I come to Jesus for salvation. Here the Bible says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God says come to Jesus. And the Bride says come. All of us that are saved by God's grace as a church collectively this morning together will tell you, if you're lost, to come to Jesus. He's the only one that can save your unworthy soul. I can tell you to straighten up and do right. I can tell you to quit drinking your beers and smoking your dope. I can tell you to quit cursing and quit stealing. I can tell you to be faithful to God and come to church, but I cannot save you. This church cannot save you. But what we will do is tell you about the one that can save you, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. My friend, he's the only one that shed his blood to cover our sins. The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's only in Jesus you can be saved. Here the Spirit and the Bride says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. My friend, individually this morning, all of us that has heard the call of God in our lives to come to him for salvation, every one of them will say, hey, it's the greatest thing anyone can ever do is to get saved and to know you're saved, to know you're redeemed, to know you've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As a church, we tell you to come to Jesus. But as individuals, we'll still tell you to come to Jesus. Hey, beloved, the greatest thing that ever happened to me is being saved. But I got a wonderful wife. I adore her to death. I love her with all my heart. Hey, we got four wonderful children. I love them. Hey, we've got a great church. I've got a wonderful mother and a wonderful stepfather. I love my family to death. But the greatest thing that ever happened to me is not my wife and is not my children. The greatest thing that ever happened to me is not joining this church and my friend, not working jobs and earning money and having a house. The greatest thing that ever happened to me is to know I'm saved by God's grace. And the sin burden is rolled away, and heaven has become my home, and Christ has become my Father. I've got the Holy Spirit to be my God and to be my deliverer, my friend. I've got something that's worth telling about this morning. Here the Spirit and the Bride says, come. And he that heareth says, come. Jesus says, come unto me. A great command of the Lord says, come. He says, come to a church. He didn't say, come to the altar, my friend, and just pray some little flippant prayer and have reformation and go back home and try to live a good life. He says, hey, you come to me. Notice what else the verse says for us here. The Bible says, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, my friend. If you're here this morning and you're lost without Christ, you know, because of our sins, we have to go to a devil's hell. By the way, why do we have to go to hell? Because we was born as sinners. The Bible says, in sin did my mother conceive me. The psalmist didn't mean some kind of sinful sexual act that my mother committed, my friend, that made me be birthed into sin. But the psalmist would say, hey, just because I was born as a guilty, hell-bound, hell-lost sinner. You don't have to teach a baby to lie. A baby's born to know how to lie. You don't have to teach a boy to destroy their bedroom. They know how to do that. You don't have to teach a boy to disobey his mom and daddy. He's born to know how to do that. You've got to teach your child to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. You've got to teach your child to pick up after themselves. You've got to teach your child to take a bath every night. You've got to teach your children, my friend, to obey their mamas and fathers. They're born with a sinful nature, and that sinful nature comes through, my friend, at the very day of birth. You take a little baby and you hold him in your arms. Little baby's fine. You lay the little baby down in the crib and the little baby starts crying. Crying supposed to let you know something's wrong with the baby, but it's nothing wrong. She or he just wants you to pick the baby up again and hold him and rock him back and forth. The baby was born knowing how to do wrong. And because we were born, we inherited a sinful debt. The Bible says, for as one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. If I go through the church this morning and ask you how many people has never told a lie, how many of us could raise our hand? If you never got angry or upset with anybody, how many of us could ever raise our hand? If we never heard or seen anything that we shouldn't have heard or seen, how many of us could raise our hand? Nobody could raise their hand and say, preacher, I've never sinned. Because all of us has, and all of us will. The Bible said, because wherefore by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. You want to know the reason a person has to die and go to hell? Because of sin. You know when Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb? Hey, Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew he was going to restore life unto the one that was dead. But the Bible says that Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep when he knew he was going to bring Lazarus from the death, when he was going to restore Mary and Martha's brother? Why did Jesus weep? Jesus wept because he has realized and he knows and he foreknew what sin was going to do to a human race. A sin was going to, my friend, he was going to put the death sentence upon everybody that was ever born. And the only way, my friend, to pay for your sins is to go to a devil's hell. The only way you can pay for your sins, the only way I can pay for my sins, is to die. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death. If you ever worked a full-time or part-time job, I remember when I was a little boy, I used to work in tobacco field, suckering that tobacco and cropping that tobacco and putting it in them big old dumpster-looking barrels and shoving them in the barn and putting those metal pins in there. I remember all that hard work. And every day, I don't know how you're doing it. I didn't wait till the end of the week every day. I held my hand out, said, Mr. Barnhill, I want my $20. Worked all day in tobacco field for $20. Every day I said, I want my wages. I want my earnings. I want my money. Then in life, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Because we're sinners, we're going to have to die and go to hell and spend all eternity there. But there's a way out. And Jesus said, if you come to me, I set you free. Look here at what the Bible says. And he that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst come. If you know this morning you're lost and you need to be saved, the Bible says you can come to Jesus and he'll give you everlasting life. And notice what else it says. And the Bible says, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Hey, my friend, it's a free gift. You don't have to say it's a free gift. You can say, hey, it's everlasting life. God wants to save you and redeem you and pay for your sinful action, my friend, with his precious blood. The Bible says, hey, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. I've got a glass of water that quenches my thirst, but my friend, soon that water will be gone and we have to fill it up again and fill it up again. But if you ever come to Jesus, he'll satisfy your soul and he'll save and do a great work in your hearts and life, my friend. Here the Bible says, and whosoever will. Thank God it's not just for the rich. but it's for the poor. The day you got saved, the day I got saved, I didn't have a dime to give to God. He says, whosoever will. I'm glad it's not just for the white man, but it's for the black man. It's for the Spanish man. It's for the red man. It's for whosoever will. It's not some religion that we get in and say it's for this group of people, this group of people. My friend, it's salvation to the whole world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, my friend. You hear today, you're lost, you need to be saved. The Bible says, whosoever will take of the water of life freely. He says it's free. If you'll come to Jesus, you know what he'll do this morning? He'll save you. He'll save you. Save you from having to die and go to hell. Save you from having to live in this world without hope and without help. We said this morning our hope is not in the second coming of Christ, but in the Christ of the second coming. Beloved, if he don't come today, if Christ don't come tomorrow, and Christ don't come by this time next week, I've still got hope, because my hope is not in some event. My hope is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, and the Spirit and Bride says, come, and let him that heareth says, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. By the way, my friend, salvation is not some game you play. You pray a prayer and believe everything's all right. The Bible says, he that is athirst, once you get a hungering and a desiring for God and know there's something better to live than to live for yourself, you get a conviction in your heart and life about sin. The day I got saved, I was convicted about sin. Boy, the day I got saved, I hated sin. I hated who I was. I hated what I become. I hated who I will become. The day I got saved, I hated my evil deeds. I hated my sinful life. That day I got saved, I hated who I was. And that's the only reason I got saved that day. Because I hated my sin. I knew the only way out was Jesus Christ. I won't come to this altar popping your bubble gum and believing you pray a prayer from your lips and everything will be all right, because it's not just your prayer that's going to make things all right. It's asking Christ into your heart. And the Bible says, he that comes into your heart liveth and abideth forever, and he makes things all right. You might not have a perfect home. You might not have a perfect marriage. You might not have the greatest job. But every day you wake up and every night you go to sleep, you know you got peace and hope and joy that, my friend, that will last for all eternity, because we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as our Savior. Bible says, he that is thirst, come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Thank God it's not something we have to earn, because we couldn't. Thank God it's something we don't have to buy, because I couldn't. Thank God it's something you don't have to work for, because I would never work for it. Thank God it's just something you can receive. 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 Everybody take a breath of air in. You can't see it out there, but you can feel its effects. You can't see Jesus out there, but you can feel his effects as he speaks to your heart about your sinful action, your sinful deeds. And you know the Bible says if you'll come to him, he'll save you and give you everlasting life. Notice not only that, but notice here if you would in Jude. Not Jude, I mean in Matthew chapter 11. Notice what else he says. The command is to come to Jesus. Look at the call. Not only the command, but the call. It says here in verse 28, the command is to come. The call is unto him. He says, come unto me. My friend, anyone that God ever calls, he calls to himself. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad we have members here this morning. But we'll never call you to come to this church. We'll never call you to come to some organization. We'll never call you to come to some denomination. We always tell you about Jesus Christ. And he always calls you to himself. I can tell you this, beloved, if you're a Christian this morning and you want to live for God and you're trying to make decisions this morning, God would never allow you to make a decision, my friend, without him calling you to himself. You remember he's going to send his disciples forth to preach. The Bible says that he calleth to him who he would, and when they come unto him, that they might be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Before we can do anything in our Christian life, we've got to spend time with God. Before I can preach God's word, I've got to spend time with God. Before I can be with the father and the son and the husband that I need to be, I've got to spend time with God. Before you can be the Christian that you need to be, you've got to spend time with God. It's not just showing up for work, my friend, that you get paid for it. You got to be involved. If you work on cars, we got some people here that's body mechanics, you got to have tools. You got to spend enough time with them tools to know how they work, know how they operate. As a Christian, you can't spend your life consumed with yourself. You got to spend some time with God. Every day, you got to spend time with God. Every day, we need to spend time with God in prayer and reading our Bible. Hey, my friend, we got to spend time reading the old Bible, my friend, the old book, the book. The Bible says this is the book, the holy writings, the holy scriptures of God, which is infallible, which is inerrant, which is the inspired, breathed word of God that we have to live by. It's our sole authority for faith and practice. You know what's wrong with us as Christians? We don't spend time with our Father. We don't spend time with God. You're not going just to go to some place and sit down and say, I'll spend time with God. It's going to take work. It takes work to make a marriage work, don't it? It's not 50% and 50%, it's 100%. Every day I try to give 100%. Every day my wife tries to give 100% because when I come short or she comes short, we still got 100%. It's not a 50-50 relationship. It's a 100-100 relationship. Hey, my friend, and God, you know what God says? God says, hey, you draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. He says, once you take a step closer to me, you'll realize I'm that much closer to you. He says, hey, you draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. You come to me, and I'll be that much closer to you to help you and encourage you and strengthen you, my friend, to give you all that you would ever need. Here, he says, come unto me. I wonder how many of us has troubles and problems, and we run to everything imaginable except Jesus. My friend, I'm the first to say, if I got a headache, I'm going to take something for a headache. And I pray and ask God to help at work. Brother Dave, if I start having trouble in my heart, hey, you get up and call 911. Somebody take me to the hospital. I don't want to die. I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to die. I don't want to die today. Hey, I take a nitroglycerin. I go to the emergency room. I have heart surgery. Hey, but my faith is not in the doctors. My faith is not in the medicine. My faith is not in a phone call. My faith is in God, my friend, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, end, the first, and the last. He says, hey, come unto me, my friend. Hey, what we have to do is get back to God. It's not our jobs. It's not our careers, it's not our intelligence, it's not our physical ability, it's not what we can muster up, but it's us, my friend, depending upon God and depending upon what He can do that will get us through this world. It's not what you can do that matters. It's who Christ is and us depending upon Him. I tell you, me and my wife, we was going through something the past five weeks, and we told nobody about this, maybe one or two people. Had no idea how God was going to fix it. You know, we just run into a dead end. We run into a dead end where we didn't see any way out of it. We didn't see any way over it. We didn't see any way around it. And all we could do was just pray. And we come to God. I wasn't looking for any alternative route. I wasn't looking for any alternative means. I wasn't looking for another way to manipulate and to scheme and to get around it. We just simply come to God and say, God, you've got to do something. You know what He done? He let us wait 5 weeks before He done something. But you know what God done? God proved Himself. If you'll just wait on me and let me take care of it, I'll fix it better than you can ever. I make it right, and God made it right. The command is to come. The call is to Jesus. Here the Bible says in John, you don't have to turn there. Let me read this to you in John chapter 10, verse 7. The Bible says, then saith Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf chaseth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and knoweth my sheep and known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Here Jesus Christ said, hey, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd of sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, hey, I'm all that you would ever need me to be. If you'll just come to me, I could be your shepherd. I could be your good shepherd. I could be your chief shepherd. I could be the great shepherd of your soul. He says, hey, if you'll just come to Jesus, just come to Jesus. During midnight hours when you can't make a phone call, when you're in a hospital and have the strength to call somebody, my friend, you can always call on Jesus, and he'll be there. Not only the command, only to call, but notice here, if you would, the care. In Matthew chapter 11, the Bible says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, if you hear the command to come to me, if you'll come to me, he says, I'll take care of you. I'll give you rest. You know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at a group of people that needs rest. Boy, we get so worked up, and we had a wonderful day yesterday, but I tell you, it was a stressful day. Hey, we come out here, and me and Brother Robert and Brother Dave, we're on the same team, grass cutting team together, so we come out here and cut grass. I cut the back half, and Brother Robert cut the front half, and Brother Dave, we eat all around all the buildings. Hey, we had to get the grass cut. We had to get food prepared. We had to be out here to get the food cut and get the fellowship all ready. We had to do all kind of wonderful things, and we had a wonderful day with the young boys and with the grown men, and we ate together and fellowship together. And then after the eating yesterday, we took these young boys fishing, and we fished all the way up to about 8 o'clock last night, and we took them home, and I got home, and I had to prepare for the message, and had to get ready for Sunday school class, and had to take a bath and get ready for bed. And about 12:30, 1 o'clock last night, I was able to lay down and go to sleep, and the alarm went off this morning at 7 o'clock. It's time to get up and pray and get ready for the church and come to church. I tell you what, after a full day like that, you're just tired. You know what you want to do? Whew. Rest. And beloved, you want me to tell you something? That's life. Life is in a hurry. Life is go, 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 run, 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 hurry, hurry, hurry. You know what we need as Christians? We need to realize there's somebody else there that can take care of us and meet every need that we have. And all we have to do is just rest in him. Not lean on him, but rest. Just get up in him and say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to stay here for a little while and let you do the work. The command is to come, to call us to him, to care us, that he'll take care of us. He says, I will. Not maybe, not hope so, but he says, I will. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. If you'll come to me and allow me to do greater than you can ever do, he says, I will give you rest. I want you to notice this next thing here. Notice what the Word of God says in Matthew 11. The Bible says here, verse 28, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How does he give us rest? Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in your heart, you shall find rest unto your souls. He says, hey, I'll give you rest by you coming to me and getting in my yoke. You know what a yoke is? I didn't know this when I was a young boy. I found out what it is when I found out what it is. I found out what it was when I started preaching. A yoke is just a piece of wood that has a few curves in it. And what you do, you put two oxen or two asses or two donkeys or something. You get them yoked up. You put that piece of wood and you put them to hitch them together. And so they can't get out. The one can't get out of this side. The other one can't get out of this side. They're in it together. And my friend, you put the reins and the chains and pull the plows and you push them, my friend. You push them, make both of them go together. And both of them's working together. Both of them pulling an equal share of weight. Both of them working together, my friend. You know what Jesus Christ says? He says, hey, if you'll get in my yoke, he says, I want you to know something. It's not our yoke. He says, it's my yoke. It's my work. It's my job. If you get in it with me, he says, hey, my yoke is easy. You know what he says? He don't say, hey, you get beside me and we'll work together to get the job done. Here Jesus said, hey, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, beloved, whether you're in it or not, I'm going to get the job done. Hey, Jesus is going to get the job done whether you're in it or not. Whether we have Sunday schools, whether we have a preacher, whether we have buses, whether we have this church or not, God says he will get his work done. But you know what he says? He says, you get on in it with me, and I'll pull all the weight. He says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, he says, hey, you get in it with me, you don't have to worry about a thing, because I do all the work. I know it's not right for one animal to do more work than another animal, but my friend, we're not talking about animals. We're talking about Jesus. He says, hey, if you'll get in it with me, I'll take care of it all. That's how God cares for us. Not only the command, not only the call, not only the caring. God cares for us by doing the work. But I want you to notice the last thing, the comfort. The comfort we have this morning. Notice what the Bible says, if you will. In verse 28, the Bible says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in your heart, you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Boy, that's comfort there, ain't it? That's comfort. If I would tell you this morning, beloved, if you're a Christian, this morning, you're going to have problems. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have heartaches. That's bad news, ain't it? But what if I tell you, you don't have to worry about none of it because God will take care of it. Well, that's comfort, ain't it? You know what would be comfortable? You know what would be comfort this morning? If I tell my children, if I tell Bianca and Tiffany and Justin and Brandon, you don't have to worry about getting a job. I'm going to pay all your bills. I'm going to buy your house. I'm going to buy your cars. I'm going to buy all your food. I'm going to buy all your clothes. You don't have to worry about money the rest of your life. You don't have to worry about health the rest of your life because you'll live just as long as you want to. I'll make sure of that. If I tell you, hey, you don't have to worry about being happy because every day you wake up, I will make you happy. You don't have to worry about laughing because you're going to laugh anytime you want to. Boy, that'd be real comfort, wouldn't it? Boy, they go through life, they wouldn't worry about nothing in the world because they know, hey, Daddy said he would take care of it. Here God says, hey, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, hey, I want you to know if you hear the command to come to me and you hear the call to come to me and you realize I can care for you, I will give you comfort. I will give you comfort. Let me read this to you about comfort. I was going to read a lot to you this morning, but I'll just read one verse. The Bible says here, if you wouldn't, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. The Bible says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. What you're trying to say, preacher, no matter what you're going through this morning, you know what we could do? We could just sit down in Jesus and say, God, I know I'm saved. I know you care for me. And God, I'm not going to do one more thing but just trust in you and rest in the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in your heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. He says, my work is easy. My burden is light. He says, I want to give you comfort. My friend, you know what we need this morning? We need to realize that somebody cares for us. We need to realize somebody cares for us. I wonder how many boys and girls we had at Vacation Bible School that went back home to a mama that cared nothing for them. That went back home to a daddy that cared nothing for him. You know what I want them boys and girls to know? I want them boys and girls to know, hey, there's a church that cares for you. There's a pastor that cares for you. But I want you to know, greater than that, there's a God in heaven that cares for you and that wants to comfort you. And I can't, my friend, I can't understand why you got the life you're living in. But I want you to know something. There's a God in heaven that sees your past and sees your presence and sees your future. And he cares for you more than anybody in the world. And he wants to comfort you right now. Bible says here, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. You got a need this morning. You got a problem this morning. I wonder how many of us would be willing to come to Jesus with it and say, Lord, there it is. I can't handle it no more. I need you to take care of it. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jim, you know what we need? rest. We need somebody to care for us. Somebody to give us comfort. You know who he is? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You know what I want these boys to know? I want them to know this church cares for y'all. I want these young men to know, hey, this pastor loves you and I care for you. I want all y'all to know that I love you and care for you, but the greatest thing of all is to know God in heaven loves you. And God in heaven cares enough for you that he sent his son to die so you can be saved from sin, be set free to serve him, have comfort, joy, and peace the rest of your life because it's all in him. It's all in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God, for this day, for your love, for your comfort. And Father, I have no idea who might be here this morning, who might be lost, who needs to be saved, but you do. And Father, I pray, God, they realize that the Spirit of the Bride says, come. That he that heareth says, come. He that is athirst, come. And whosoever will take up the word of life freely, that could be them this morning. They can come to Jesus and be saved and be set free. And for us that has already done that in our lives, we've already received Christ as our Savior. This morning we know that you're indwelling within each and every one of us. I pray, God, we'll still come to Jesus for the care and the comfort and the rest we need. Father, I can't live this life by myself. I can't do what needs to be done with my family by myself. Lord, I'm tired of working and struggling and fighting every day in my energy and my flesh. Help me just to come to Jesus, get in Jesus and relax and rest in him and allow him to get the job done. Because he'll never fail. He'll never fall short. He will always be victorious. I pray, Father, you speak to those hearts now that needs to come to Jesus, not only for salvation, but for rest. Help us this morning, I pray you would. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. If we can, let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes still closed. The invitation starts. Now I want to ask you a question. Would you be here this morning? Would you be willing to say, Preacher Scott, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, but this morning, I know I need to be saved. Are you here like that this morning? Might be a young man, might be a young woman. Mom or daddy, grandmama or granddaddy. Would you be willing to lift your hand and say, Preacher, I know I'm lost and I want to be saved. I need to be saved. I'm going to ask you right now, if God's speaking to your heart about coming to him for salvation, won't you come to Jesus right now? Won't you hear that command? Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You say, Preacher, I've been trying. I've been working for it. I've been doing all I can to live a better life. Well, beloved, that's not going to matter. That's not going to help. You coming to Jesus is going to be the only thing that's going to help you today. Do you know you're saved? If you don't know that for sure this morning, won't you come? Won't you come if you're a man or a young boy? We have another man to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a woman or a young girl, we'll have another lady take the Bible and show you how to be saved. We got two rooms you can go into and spend all the time you need. But I want to ask you this morning, if you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're not right with God, won't you come on? While the Holy Spirit of God is speaking, God's dealing right now, won't you come to the Lord? Won't you get saved? Won't you give your life to Christ? Won't you just turn it over to him and say, God, I've made a mess of it. God, I can't handle it no more. Here's my life. Here's my sins. You do whatever you want with them because I can't take it anymore. You know what God will do? He'll take your sins away. He'll move into your heart and give you peace. While God's dealing, won't you come? Just step out of your pew and come to this altar and get saved this morning. Get saved this morning. And you're this morning that's saved by God's grace, you're a Christian. Won't you rest in Jesus? Won't you rest in Jesus? Won't you realize he has all that you would ever need? He wants to care for you. He wants to comfort you this morning. Won't you just come to Him? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I want to ask you this question with your head still bowed and nobody looking around, nobody's peeking around. Would you be willing to say, Preacher Scott, I know I'm not saved. And right now, I don't want to come forward, but I do want to ask you to pray for me. Don't call my name out loud. Don't come to me. But Preacher, this morning I want the knowledge that I'm lost, and I want you to pray for me. Is there one in here be willing to lift your hand and say, Preacher, I'm lost. I'm not saved, and I want you to pray for me. Just lift your hand up real quick. I'll see it. I won't come to you. I won't call your name. All I want to do is just pray for you tonight before I go to bed. Preacher, I'm going to lift my hand up because I'm lost. And I need somebody to care for me. I need somebody to pray for me. Real quick, while nobody else is looking but me, I see that hand. God bless you. Is there another? Preacher, I'm going to lift my hand. I want you to pray for me. I'm lost. I need somebody to care. Father, we thank you, God, for this wonderful, wonderful day that you've given to us, for the fine audience that we had this morning. They listened so well. Pray, God, you'll bless them for that. I pray, God, for these who come to this altar to have a burden or trouble in their lives. And all we can do is cast our care upon you because you careth for us. Help us, Father, every day to give you our troubles, our problems, our worries, our frets. Help us every day when we wake up to give you our lives, that you could take full control of it. And Father, I pray for those who've raised their hand. You know the special need they have in their life. Lord, I want to be their friend. I want to care for them. I want to comfort them. I want to have an opportunity to go by their house one day and tell them about Jesus. Father, I pray you prepare their hearts for that. God, you prepare their lives. That on that day, they realize the need for salvation and just simply trust in Jesus. Father, bless them. I pray you would. Give God the church traveling mercy on the highways as we go home, as we come back tonight. Lord, may we come expecting God to do something once again. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you for being here.